Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Carl, we're so glad you could come back, Mrs. Whiting beamed. 15-year-old Carl's smile spread across his face like syrup on a pancake. We're so grateful that you can help us out in the social hall every Thursday. The residents will be happy to see you again. Carl grinned and nodded his head enthusiastically. Would you like to follow Jim here and get started? Carl looked in Jim's direction, then side to side, and then haltingly walked off behind the maintenance worker. Thank you. Carl's mom shook Mrs. Whiting's hand warmly. This volunteer opportunity means a lot to Carl. It's our pleasure, Mrs. Whiting reassured her. Carl's a conscientious worker, and the residents are very fond of him. Carl's mom felt her eyes well up. It's a blessing to have him in a place where he's appreciated, she sighed. It's been so hard. From a parent's perspective, what can we do to help developmentally disabled youngsters participate more fully in the community? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest, a high school student, founded an organization to create meaningful opportunities for individuals with developmental disabilities to build self-esteem and social awareness by helping others. Zachary Peskin is a high school student in New Jersey, where he founded Special People Helping Others, Incorporated, or SPPHO. He had observed the eagerness of developmentally disabled young people to help others. Zach is a USTA-ranked junior tennis player and a member of his school's varsity tennis team. He's also the founder of the Special Needs Tennis Program for Adolescents and Children with Disabilities, a member of the Milburn High School Peer Leaders, and an editor of The Miller, the school's newspaper. His efforts with SPPHO were recognized by WMTR-AM Radio with the Kids Who Rock Award. Zach is also an avid reader, particularly in economics, and has conducted professor-supervised research related to the modeling of economic and social impacts of international exchange rate dynamics. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Zach.
Thank you for having me.
Your organization, SPPHO, derived from your own observations of people with developmental disabilities, as you explained to us. Would you explain why you founded this organization?
Sure. Now, let me start by saying, just talking generally about why people participate in volunteer or community service activities. And through observations of people with developmental disabilities and also other people, we feel that people generally have a feeling of self-worth, that they're doing like a great deed when they're helping others. So when the idea about special people helping others first started, we thought it would be a great idea to try and provide the same feelings of self-worth to people with developmental disabilities so they could help others. And through my own personal experiences with my brother, Adam, who has autism, and also through some of his peers, we realized that they were generally on the receiving end of a lot of help. And we thought it would be a great way if they could sort of build their own self-esteem and social awareness, but also give back to the broader community however they could.
How old is your brother?
My brother is 22.
Zach, what did you notice is the greatest challenge for people with developmental disabilities? You mentioned that one of the things is they seem to always be on the receiving end. Was there anything else that you noticed?
Well, it sort of varies depending on the specific disabilities. Like I know, for example, some of the people I've worked may have trouble communicating their feelings or expressing their wants or needs to the people that they work with. So my organization aims to have like a twofold goal, to have them improve their general skills and how they interact with people and also their own self-worth and self-esteem. But they do that through helping others through various community service and volunteer opportunities.
So it brings them into personal interactions in ways they wouldn't have had an opportunity for before.
Right, because people generally think that if they see somebody with developmental disabilities, well, how can I help them or how can I be of service to them? What do they need? Where they don't think, well, this person can contribute on their own to the general community and they can be competitively employed or they can volunteer and do what almost everybody else can do. So just given the opportunity is a very powerful thing.
It's very interesting. At a grocery store in our community, there's a developmentally disabled man who's been working for years and years and years loading grocery bags into cars. And everyone knows him and is friendly with him, and he's very friendly to people. He seems to really like what he's doing. So it's wonderful to see. I mean, and it is a paid job.
Right. And actually, my brother has held a similar job back in New Jersey, where he actually works for a local supermarket where he bags groceries. And if there's somebody who needs help taking them out to his car, he does that. And I think just from the people that work with him, they say, oh, when somebody asks him to help them and when he brings out groceries to their car, he can really tell that when he accomplishes it and they say thank you or thanks for helping me, that he really feels good that he helped them that they might not have been able to do on their own.
Does your brother talk?
Yes. He'll say like, oh, I like to do this. Like, for example, I conduct a tennis clinic where I teach kids with special needs tennis for an hour a week. And 1 week, a couple of them wouldn't be able to make it. So instead of having just one person there alone, I asked my brother, well, do you want to join? And he said, no, I really don't like tennis. I'd rather stay home and listen to music or whatever he was doing on that day. So he can communicate his feelings.
That leads me right into, have you found that the public has misconceptions about this special group of people? I know some people hear the term autism and assume that the person does not speak. And that's just one example.
Right,
that's
of course. I think that if you look at where we were maybe a few decades ago as compared to where we are now, the public is more familiar with people with developmental disabilities. Like, everybody seems to know somebody like, oh, my best friend has a son who has autism, or I know somebody who has developmental disabilities. So people are more aware. And of course, it depends on a case-to-case basis, where some people might be more verbal and they might not be as good at, let's say, some skills, where other people might not be able to communicate as well but might be better with other things. It really depends. Just like any other person, what they're good at depends on just who they are.
Can you explain a little bit about how SPPHO works and what kind of projects your organization has initiated?
Sure. Now, as you sort of said in your introduction, what SPPHO aims to do is to create meaningful opportunities for people with developmental disabilities to build self-esteem and social awareness through helping others. Now, we've created a few programs that help us accomplish this mission. One of the programs that we've had a bunch of participants in is what we call our 3-for-1 bracelet days, and where we have this special people helping others branded bracelet, and we have people with developmental disabilities and also our volunteer coordinators, and they'll go around local towns and they'll ask maybe a merchant, can I stand in front of your shop for a couple hours and sell these bracelets? We call it 3-for-1 bracelet days because it helps three causes. First and foremost, it helps special people helping others core mission, which is to provide these volunteer opportunities and to help these people with developmental disabilities build self-esteem and social awareness so they know. And then the other two parts are we donate 100% of the proceeds to Meals on Wheels and Doctors Without Borders.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about special people helping others.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Zach Peskin about his organization, Special People Helping Others. How did you choose those particular charities?
There's actually a specific reason why we chose these two charities, because when you're explaining what Special People Helping Others does to a person with developmental disabilities, you want to keep it very simple. So we'll tell them, we're going to sell these nice-looking bracelets, and we'll show them, and we're going to say, we're going to charge $5 a bracelet, and we're going to give the money away to charity. So, well, they might not understand the concept of charity, so we're going to say, well, we're going to give them to great causes, and these are the two great causes we've selected. We wanted to choose things that are very easy for people with developmental disabilities to comprehend. So we chose basically healthcare, which is Doctors Without Borders, and Meals on Wheels. You can sort of simplify it by saying, well, everybody needs to see a doctor when they're sick, or everybody needs to get food when they're hungry. So it's very simple for them to comprehend. And they're two outstanding charities that do really great work.
Can you share any special plans for the future that you have for your organization?
Sure. We're in the middle of building out an affiliate program, so I urge people who are interested in hosting a 3-for-1 bracelet day event in their city to visit our website, which is www.sppho.org, or email me at founder@sppho.org. And So we actually host a business program where we pair people with developmental disabilities and a local merchant along with a volunteer. And the volunteer and the person with disabilities will go in and say, may we sell our bracelets? May we put up a little stand? And would you be willing to sell them to your customers? And it provides great opportunities for the people with developmental disabilities. They get to interact with somebody who they've never interacted with before, because a lot of people with developmental disabilities only interact with the same group of people every day. Like, they interact with their family and some of their peers, but they never really get to meet new people. So it gives them the opportunity to meet new people. It also provides them a lot of practical skills, like maybe once every 2 weeks they'll call the merchant, how many bracelets have you sold, or is the box full? Should I come collect the money? Then they can sort of count the money and say, well, you raised $25, so that means you sold 5 bracelets. Let me give you some more bracelets. And it just gives them a lot of interaction and also practical skills like working with money and just talking to new people. So we believe that's a great opportunity.
Have you had to do any training of some of these people in terms of handling money?
We haven't, but that's why we send a volunteer with them. So, for example, maybe they have great communication skills, but they're not the best at handling money. We can have that volunteer sort of help them. Well, if we sell $5 a bracelet and we've raised $25, they help them figure out that this merchant must have sold 5 bracelets. So it just provides them new opportunities, which we think are great to help them build their self-esteem. We have one of these upcoming community service plans where we call it SPPHO Goes Green, and where a bunch of our volunteers are partnering with the Home Depot, and they're providing a few volunteers and helping us sort of grow these flowers, and they're providing all the materials. So once we work together and we've grown all the flowers, we're going to take them and bring them to a local center for senior citizens. So it's just a way for our volunteers to provide a little service, like making an area look nicer. So it's a way for them to give back. I think they'll really enjoy it.
And this is Home Depot is providing the seeds?
Right, yeah. They're providing all the seeds, the pots, and et cetera. And they're also providing some of their staff to help us sort of, well, with the technique of growing, because a lot of us just don't know what to do.
It's a good skill.
Yeah.
Zach, have you noticed any comments from people in the community who have had interactions with some of the members of your organization, the people with developmental disabilities, in terms of their having come in contact with somebody like they may not have connected with before?
Absolutely. Like, for example, when we host a lot of these 3-for-1 bracelet days and we are outside of a local business, we just talk to general people that are walking by and they say, wow, this is a really great cause and I've never really thought of it this way. For example, people that I've helped before, like I've given them a service, now that they can give the broader community a service is something really powerful, and they've all seemed very pleased by that. And also, when this idea of special people helping others, when I first thought of it, I went to a lot of the people I knew within the field, like some of the people my brother worked with, like a lot of the people that ran some of the local community organizations for people with developmental disabilities. And I said, well, what do you think of this idea? Would you be comfortable with sending some of your clients with developmental disabilities to a program like this? Do you think they would like it? How do you think it would come off? And they were all sort of blown away, basically saying, wow, this is a great idea. I've never thought of this, because we're always looking for volunteer opportunities or job opportunities for our clients. But giving them, like, for a few hours on a Saturday to be able to raise money for these two great causes is amazing. Also, we've gotten feedback from some of our clients with developmental disabilities that some of them even said, well, I want to do something like this every day, or like, this is for such a great cause.
I have two questions I want to ask you, Zach. One is, you started to talk about working to get more affiliates,
right?
And you gave the example about bracelet sales. Are there other ways people can become affiliates?
We're in the process now of building out an affiliate program. I urge you to contact me through our website, www.sppho.org. But we're going to do sort of different levels of affiliates. Like, people who want to participate in all our activities will become an affiliate, like, for example, Special People Helping Others of Los Angeles. But what we've had a lot of interest is just local community organizations, like, for example, like a local YMCA wants to just participate in one of our programs. So then they can contact us and we'll say, well, we want to host a local 3-for-1 bracelet day outside of the local Y, and we'll provide them the supplies and then they'll raise the money. So they only participate in one thing, which is really great. So depending on the level of interest, it depends on like how much involved they'll get. And we've gotten great feedback from all across the country. We've gotten inquiries from the Minnesota, Los Angeles, Louisiana. We've also gotten inquiries internationally. We got one from India, which was really great. And if I may mention, one of the things we're doing now is we're in the middle of a fundraising drive where we're trying to raise money to work on our affiliate build-out and our moving to a more national presence. So if people want information about personal donations or becoming a corporate sponsor, you can visit our website at www.sppho.org.
Zach, have you seen carryover results following participation in SPPHO activities?
Yeah. A lot of our volunteers with developmental disabilities have given us great feedback. And what it might seem to other people is very simple. Like, for example, one of our volunteers said, "Wow, I sold all my bracelets." And another person said, "Can we do this, like, for example, selling the bracelets every week?" So they've really understood what they're doing. And also, we've talked to a lot of their parents and a lot of their caregivers and saying just giving them the opportunity maybe for a few hours on the weekend to get out of however they normally operate and do something different and do something for this great cause, something very powerful. And it makes me very proud of them to see them helping others when a lot of people focus on helping them.
You mentioned, we both mentioned, your tennis clinic. And I wondered if you had any stories about developmentally disabled people learning about tennis.
Right, absolutely. Basically, the people I teach are all about 12 years old with varying degrees of developmental disabilities. And like a lot of kids their age, they like to hit the ball around the court and play different games. But the thing that brings them the most joy is actually when they pick up the balls and they make different games out of it, who can pick up the most balls, or they play different games. And not only do they help pick up the balls that they hit, they sometimes will actually help other people pick up the balls if it's getting to the end of the hour and they need help. So they're very conscious of knowing that they're helping others in even this very small way by just picking up some tennis balls, but they really seem to love it, which is very gratifying because they realize that they're doing something to help others, which is great.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about special people helping others.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Zach Peskin about special people helping others.
Zach, how has this endeavor changed you? We've talked about how it's changed other people. How would you say it's made a difference to you?
Well, I think it's altered my relationship with my brother and his peers that have developmental disabilities. Because if I can quickly tell a story, when I was younger, my parents sort of tell me that, I was a little not comfortable with my brother because I found he was different. And as I grew, I became more comfortable with his differences and really embracing them. And I was always there to help my brother. This is sort of almost a new turning point where I realized that my brother, along with a lot of his peers, can help others. So it's almost changed my relationship with this community. Not necessarily, what can I do to help you, but how can I help you to help others, which has become really powerful.
Do you have recommendations for other communities who might want to organize for similar purposes?
Right. If you visit our website, we have information on hosting different events, and you can visit our website at www.sppho.org. And just contact us. I mean, you don't have to do things on any specific date. We're very flexible, and we're going to work to make it work for your specific needs.
Zach, as I understand it, you had a bigger fundraiser kind of program within recent months.
We held our first major bracelet days where we had about 50 volunteers, and all throughout my local town, we went in front of businesses and we also went through the different communities selling our bracelets. And going into it, I didn't really know how much I would expect we would raise, but the money really wasn't the important part. It was the experience. But when we were done, we raised $1,200 in just about 2 hours, which was amazing. But yet again, it's really not the money. It's this experience I can provide for all these volunteers. And a lot of them were just thrilled. And we've had a lot of these volunteers come back and participate in our other events, which has been really great. And now we want to expand this message and this opportunity to people all across the country, which is why we're sort of in the middle of trying to expand our outreach through our affiliate program.
Have you gotten responses more predominantly from one type of person than another in terms of people wanting to affiliate?
Well, we've gotten actually a nice mix. One of the inquiries we've gotten was from someone who works for a state-run agency that like sort of runs different group homes and group activities for people with developmental disabilities. So they said, well, like tell me about your program. How can I incorporate this into what the daily life of my clients is? And we've also gotten just from general parents saying, wow, I have a 3-year-old daughter that has autism, and I know this program is still not right for my kid because she's too young, but I really like the idea. So we've had basically from a broad range of people who have just been overjoyed by the idea and really want to know how to participate.
It sounds like it could expand age-wise, too, eventually.
Right, absolutely. I mean, we're always looking at new ways to expand our program within different age brackets and different programs. So if people have different suggestions, they can feel free to contact us because we're very flexible. It's really not about the specific programs. It's about the whole entire message, about getting these people involved and giving them this opportunity to give back while helping themselves, which is, I think, very powerful. And that's what people have really responded to.
What happens when you go off to college? What happens to the program? I know you're going into your senior year.
Right. The program will keep going. We've had 3 great board members that have really been instrumental in helping us expand. And we're building it off an affiliate program. So we're going to have a central national organization that sort of provides just general information about our programs and merchandise and that type of stuff. But it will sort of be run on almost a location-by-location basis. For example, if a person in maybe Chicago wants to run a local event, they can contact us for information. Well, how would I do a 3-for-1 bracelet day event? And we give them the information, provide them the materials, and they do it on their own. They find their volunteers and the people with developmental disabilities. So it's really, we try and cater to you as much as possible.
To find the people that will become your volunteers, your developmentally disabled volunteers, do you go through organizations, clinical organizations, social services?
Yeah, you can go through like your local school because a lot of them now have programs for people with developmental disabilities, or maybe your local community center has, like every week they might have a program for people with developmental disabilities. Or just like even if you go on the web and search for organizations that service people with special needs in your community, you can really find a lot of these groups. And that's how we've been able to see, well, would you be interested in sending your group to this event? And people have been really receptive of that message.
In addition to the website, what resources would you suggest to people who want to help other special people find ways to help others in their own communities?
As far as we know, we're the only organization that provides these opportunities for special people to give back to the community. And that's part of the reason why we founded it, because we thought there was this void. But there are other organizations where you can just find general information about people with developmental disabilities and like maybe the signs to look for, what you can do to help them or how they can get involved. And there are organizations, for example, like Autism Speaks, which will provide information about the signs of people with developmental disabilities and like ways to interact with them, which is really great. We're actually looking for people who have experience with maybe in the clinical or academic side of dealing with people with developmental disabilities to contact us so we can work with them and see, well, how can we expand our program or what they can contribute to our program like from their experiences. So if anybody knows somebody or is willing to help us out, that'd be great if they could contact us.
So professional help is not discouraged at all.
No, of course not.
Well, our special appreciation to you, Zach Peskin, for sharing with us your experience, your work, and your very outstanding organization for helping individuals with developmental disabilities become valuable contributors to their communities. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 375 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into. Since we air all over the world, it's fun to know where you're tuning in. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, the fourth edition, is available now in all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can click on to listen to podcast to hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words listen to podcast. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners, as well as from the SF Foundation. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.